This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord,
you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Today, I want to talk about Psalm 52 and some things here that I read that were encouragement to me, and when I preached it on Sunday evening, it was an encouragement to the saints. But I want to say some things first before we get into the text, the background of the text I'll share in a moment. But as Christians, we share the same trials and tribulations and burdens and setbacks as anybody in the world. We are not exempt from sickness. We're not exempt from emotional issues. We're not exempt from psychological issues. We're not exempt from financial burdens. The challenges of life are applicable to everyone. How we deal with those things is the difference maker. And as a Christian, yeah, we face death. Yeah, Christians suffer from, you know, terminal diseases. Yes, Christians struggle financially. Yes, Christians struggle with the death of a loved one. Yes, Christians face many of the same oppositions and challenges as those in the world. Yes, Christians feel the weight of the things that are going on in our culture, in our country. And oftentimes, you can get overwhelmed by those. You can be overtaken by those and lose sight of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you can lose sight of the one fundamental thing that can help you through those times, that can help keep your feet pointed in the right direction to keep that hope alive. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that He has promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He has given us the Holy Spirit that dwells each and every one of us. And during those times when we're feeling our lowest, when we're at our weakest, when we're just struggling to make sense of things in life, that we can draw on that strength to help us through. I've been saved a long time. I've been in the ministry for a while, and I've seen it time and again. Those that have been overtaken by the things of this world, by the challenges of life, by the burdens of life, all of that stuff, have been the ones who have distanced themselves from God. Those that have ceased to pray on a regular basis, those that have ceased to read and study the Word of God. And I tell my folks here at the church, I say, look, here's the thing. You can get into a place in your life where you're so discouraged and you're angry with everyone and maybe even angry with God. I know some of you are probably surprised. Well, wait a minute now. If you're angry with God, you've got some issues. You talk to enough people and you find out where they're at. You talk to enough people that are honest and they say, look, I'm not happy with God right now. This is my lot in life and I just don't understand it. And they're going through some challenges. Don't be like Job's friends there, bringing bad news and trying to make him, you know, feel, you know, like a piece of dirt. And God came in at the end. He set that whole thing in order, and Job came out on the other side of that okay. I think as Christians, we have to be mindful of our relationship and the strength and power that we have in our lives and not be overtaken, not to be vexed to the point where we abandon our faith in God. We're called to a higher purpose in this life. We're not promised an easy road. I don't care what some of the false religions take or the false theologies out there, and they say, you know, you got the name it and claim it crowd, you know, the fake healers crowd, and the folks that are always telling you you can be rich, and they're asking you to send your last dollar into them, and the word of faith movement and all that nonsense. Don't buy into that stuff. I've met more people over the years who are disenchanted with religion altogether because they got mixed up with that bunch. I've seen them. They've come through the church here, and they've given everything they have to these people, and they've come away with nothing except discouragement and anger and frustration toward God. That is not Bible. That's not scriptural truth, and it's not helpful for the dye-in-the-wool Christian that's just trying to make sense of their everyday lives. David, in Psalm 52, which is where our focus is going to be this morning, certainly was a man that was acquainted with struggles and trials and burdens. He was a man who was acquainted with adversity. He had his ups and his downs. But at the end of all of that, he was known as a man after God's own heart. In the midst of all of his struggles, all of his trials, he was known as a man after God's own heart. We're not promised an easy ride. We're going to face a lot of adversity in our lives as Christians. We have to decide how we're going to deal with that adversity. And as a Christian, I would rather deal with it with the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God. David understood that. And the character here, one of the main characters, obviously David is, but the sub-character is Doeg. He was an Edomite, and he told Saul how David had went to the house of Ahimelech, and through all of that, to make a long story short, Doeg got the commission to go out and kill the priest, and killed over 85 of them. And so you can see in all of this how David reacts to this news. And he reacts in such a way that there is encouragement for the people of God. We can choose to be victims of our surroundings, of our circumstances. We can submit to those various trials, the adversity, the burdens of life. We can submit to those and become non-productive Christians, or we can flip that thing around and say, no, that's not me. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Bombs are exploding all around me, and trials and tribulations and adversity and setbacks and all of this stuff. But I am a child of God, and I am called to a higher purpose. And it's not to get lost in obscurity, to be weighed down by my burdens, but to rise above it. I think all too often what happens to the people of God is this. When we view something going on in somebody's life, or even in our own lives, we spend way too much time focused on the burden, whatever that may be. We say, well, look what he's going through. Look what she's going through. Oh, look what I'm going through. And all we do is talk about the burden. We magnify the burden and we forget that we're Christians. We forget that we are overcomers through him that dwells in us. What the world needs to see is not another pitiful Christian. What the world needs to see is a victorious Christian, an overcomer, one that deals with adversity eye to eye, nose to nose, head on, and overcomes it by the strength and the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1 of this psalm, David says, "Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of the dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Now notice verse 7. Lo, this is the man. This is a man that boasted in his mischief, presumably a mighty man. But this man, verse number 7, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. He didn't trust in God. He didn't make God his strength. Now, those that are listening to this program that are born again Bible-believing Christians, God is your strength. God is your hope. God is your life. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. See the difference? We can submit and succumb to adversity, to the burdens of life, or we can rise above that through Christ who dwells in us. And let the light of Christ shine forth. We're told to let our light so shine before men. And the light doesn't shine as brightly as it does when it shines through a person who's going through trials and tribulations in their life. And people take note of that. Now watch this. Verse number 8. David comes on. He says, look, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So here's the difference maker. David understood what Doeg did. David could have retreated to a safe space, murmured, complained, quit church, quit reading the Bible, quit praying, lived a defeated life spiritually. He could have succumbed, but he didn't. You know why? Because he made God his strength. And because God was his strength, he is, verse number 8, like a green olive tree in the house of God. What does that mean? Well, it means he wasn't destroyed. It means that he was not destroyed. Christian, God has promised good to us. God has promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. God has promised us a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, we quote this verse a lot, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good to them that love God, them that are the called according to his purpose. Now look, are you a green olive tree? Are you not vibrant for God? Is there not a spirit in you that desires to manifest the truth of Christ and his love and his mercy? I've met people in various stages of trials and tribulations, people that are dying of deadly diseases, and in the midst of all of that, still shine brightly for Christ. I've gone on visitation and in the homes and in the hospitals, and in spite of their circumstances, which are bad in and of themselves, they're still giving away gospel tracts. They're still giving a testimony for how great Jesus Christ is. They're suffering through all of this adversity, and they're praising God. I've seen people in this church lose their jobs, be on the verge of just getting kicked out of their apartment, losing their... I've seen them right at the edge of that, and they're still praising God, and they're praising him in advance of the blessing that they're going to receive, and I've seen them receive the blessing. I've seen people here going through physical issues, and we pray and pray and pray, and they're praising God in spite of all of that. They truly are a green olive tree. They're stable, and they're flourishing, and they're bearing fruit. They're not succumbing to their circumstances. They're not disappearing under the weight of the burden. They're rising above it. And people focus on the burdens too much. And what they need to do, what we need to do, is focus on Christ, who's giving them the ability to push through that adversity. What a sharp contrast here between verse 8 and verse number 7. The people of God who've made God their strength rise above it. They rise above those burdens and that adversity that comes in their life. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Now, I want to say this. I know I'm running out of time, but the house of God, look, here's the reality of it. If you're blowing off church, then you are cutting off an important channel of blessing. Look, I've got some great folks here at Bible Way, and I'm sure you do at your church too, and what I'm saying, you can probably say, amen, preacher. I know exactly what you're talking about. I got some great folks here, and you know, these folks are going through some things. You know, I've got young families in the church, I've got older folks in the church, and I've got everything in between. And people are dealing with physical issues and financial issues and all these challenges in the home and the workplace and just everything else. But the connection, the network of people and support and prayer and encouragement that they get from one another here is so vital to overcoming that adversity. Church life is important. It's not just the preacher getting up and preaching preaching his sermon. It's about making connection. It's about people. It's about people having charity towards one another and realizing that it's not all about yourself. It's about helping other people. I think one of the problems with folks today is they become so self-consumed with their burdens and trials, they forget that they can be a blessing and encouragement to others. I think it was in Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see if I can find that real quick for you here and show you what's going on with regards to this. I think it's important that we see that the encouragement that we can get from one another becomes very important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort. And salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Church life is important because of the mutual encouragement and support that we give to one another in the house of God. Notice the next thing. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. There's never going to be a place where he stops trusting in the mercy of God. And I think it has to start with ourselves. God has been merciful to us. If you're saved, he's been merciful to you. And through this life that we live, and the many setbacks and challenges that we've had, God has been merciful to us. Has he not? And he'll continue to do that. God's mercy is seen in his care for us. God's mercy is seen in his provision for us. God's mercy is seen in his patient guidance with us. And believe you me, he has been patient. He has been extremely patient. So not only does David trust in the mercy of God, but in verse 9, he says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Because he did what? Because he judged the wicked. Because God has answered his prayer. We don't pray with the expectation that God is going to do a thing. And I think sometimes we need to pray in advance of that and thank God for it. So he said, I will praise thee forever. But the main point I want to make here before I close this message out is this. We are all too quick sometimes, not just to succumb to our burdens and the adversities of life, but then we start to murmur and complain against God because of our lot in life. I've met some remarkable people in my lifetime. And as a Christian, I have met people that are just going through, I mean, some bad things. And I've seen them anchor themselves to Christ, and through it all, they praise God. Psalm 42, David, one of my favorite psalms, he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David had lived a life with God to such a degree that he could anticipate God blessing him at the end of the thing before the end even came. That was, I think, one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why David was considered a man after God's own heart. Because throughout David's trials and tribulations, he still had his heart fixed on God. And to such a degree, in such a walk of faith with God, he could consistently say, yep, God delivered me here, he delivered me here, he delivered me here. I'm going through this now, and I know, just like in the past, God is going to deliver me here, so I'm just going to praise him now. And I think that's healthy for us as Christians. It's healthy to praise God now, because the alternative to that is the very thing that God hates, and that's murmuring. We don't want to be a murmuring people. God has blessed us with so many things in our lifetime. If we stop comparing ourselves to others, well, how come they got, and how come they're not going through, and how come they've never experienced, and we start picking at other people rather than saying, you know what, praise the Lord, I'm still able to get up in the morning. Praise the Lord, I'm still able to get out and give a testimony. You know, praise the Lord, I'm still able to work. I have a good family. Praise the Lord, I'm still able to see and hear. I have a job and all that stuff. And even those in adversity are still praising God. They find something to praise God over rather than murmur. I think Paul captured it best. I think it was in Philippians. He said, in whatsoever state I am, I have learned to be content. Rich or poor, and everything in between, he learned to be content. And sometimes that's the lesson that we're all learning, to be content. We can get so fixated on what everybody else is getting, how everyone else is doing, and we forget that God is dealing with us right here, right now, in this particular time. So keep that in mind. He goes on in the rest of the verse. He says, I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And yes, his name is good. Proverbs 18, verse number 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Jesus Christ has a good name. He has a good name because he has delivered on his promises. I have no reason to believe that he will not deliver on any of the future promises that he has made for the saints of God. And I believe he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I believe that he truly did send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God does indeed dwell inside of me and will guide me unto all truth and give me comfort when I'm dealing with the trials and burdens of life, just like you. David had it down. David understood it. David's life is a worthy study for all the people of God, a good testimony. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Are you still flourishing, saints of God? Are you still bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you stable in your walk with Christ? Are you succumbing to the burdens and challenges and adversities of life? Or are you rising above it by the power and strength of the grace of God? Take care, and may the Lord richly bless you.